What was the openly gay NBA basketball player Jason Collins, the new Jackie Robinson? And do you know what's been happening in your children's schools?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, I've been having a hard time sleeping recently. Oh, I'm not disturbed. I'm not upset. I'm not worried. I don't relate to worry, basically, in my life. Virtually never worry. But I've been so stirred. There's so much going on. There are so many things happening. I'm talking about stirred. And I've got to write, get out of bed and write another article and address issues and then get on my knees and pray. Oh, I'm doing it with peace and joy. And yes, I'm trying to get adequate rest, but what a day we are living in, friends. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. If any of you have ever thought that those words were exaggerated, if those words were a bit over the top, I think you're recognizing more and more that I have just been speaking the truth in love. 866-348-7884. I'm about to bring on a guest, a good friend, a coworker, Lori Higgins from the Illinois Family Institute. She has worked in Chicago area schools for years. She's now with the Illinois Family Institute full-time, and knows firsthand things going on in the school system, is accurate, does her research, and will talk to us practically about things we could do on this Wednesday when we focus on the world, on moral and social issues. And I know it's a bit of an overload, friends. I know we've talked a couple days this week about things going on with gay activism. It's just in our face everywhere. And to me, the bad news is the good news. The bad news is, as I heard from a Christian attorney friend, that in the natural, you just want to throw in the towel because everywhere you turn now, cases are coming persecuting Christians for simply holding to Christian values and holding to their own beliefs. And it's now not just individuals coming against them, but states coming against them, attorney generals of states coming against them and the like. And in the natural, you want to throw in the towel, except you know we're doing the right thing and God is with us. But as my attorney friend said to me, that he wherever he goes now, he's speaking to hundreds of pastors and explaining the issue of marriage and why it's important. They're revved up. They're ready to do something. So when I say the bad news is the good news, here's what I mean. When I say the bad news is the good news, first, it has brought a greater awareness to the church of the existence of those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and basically God is saying to us, well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to reach these people with the love of God? How are you going to make a difference in their lives? That's the first thing. The second thing, it's waking us up to the fact that we have fallen asleep in the light, that we have given up precious liberties and freedoms because we've preached a compromise, man-centered, what's in it for me gospel, rather than go against the grain, take up the cross, follow Jesus at any cost and any consequence. And because of that, because of the absence of light in our culture, darkness is dominating in 100 different ways. You know, I say darkness when marriage gets redefined, that's darkness. When you have TV shows celebrating teen moms out of wedlock, that's darkness. When you have just the epidemic of teen suicide and other things going on, that's darkness. These are problems in our society. But we're finally waking up. We come back. I'm going to be joined by Lori Higgins. And first, I want to talk to Lori about something we touched on yesterday, but I've written an article addressing it, why Jason Collins is not the new Jackie Robinson. I want to talk to Lori about courage. Who really has courage today? Who really is taking a stand, making a difference? And then to the schools. You don't want to miss a moment. 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. We're going to talk about things that are happening in your children's schools, things that may shock you, things that you may be totally unaware of, things that you may have thought are happening somewhere else, but never where I live. Well, I'm speaking right now to folks in major cities all over America, and because it's major cities all over America, many of these things are happening in your children's schools, even in preschool. 866-348-7884. My guest today in this first hour is Laurie Higgins. She is a co-worker on the front lines, standing for family, but from a gospel perspective, she works with the Illinois Family Institute. Laurie, as always, it's great to have you on the broadcast.
Hi, Michael. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Laurie, can you just tell our listeners your experience first as a mother, then as an educator, and then your current work with IFI?
Sure. Well, I have four kids. They're all young adults now, and I stayed at home and raised them. The issues that are troubling us now in elementary, middle, and high schools didn't exist for my first three. Actually, none of them did they exist for in elementary school, but I really saw a transition when my fourth child, who's 23, was in high school. And in the years that she was there, I really saw a huge transition in terms of how much material were presented to students regarding homosexuality from one perspective. When my oldest daughter was a senior, I started substitute teaching in my local high school. And then by the time my son, who was my third, was there, I was working full-time in the writing center. I was in the English department. And so I started tracking what assignments kids were getting that touched on issues related to homosexuality. And they started freshman year, and every single year, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, kids would be either reading plays, novels, essays, seeing films, seeing speakers, skits during assemblies that affirmed liberal ideas about homosexuality. And not once in 4 years did they read even a single essay by a conservative scholar. In addition, I was noticing how much time was used to promote what is called critical race theory or critical pedagogy. Some people will be more familiar with the idea or the term teaching for social justice, which has a really biased view of American history. And the same thing, teachers were not presenting any resources that dissent from those views. And that's when I started. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, just to jump in, before we get to your current work, what about in the libraries? Let's say a kid's going into a high school library in district there in Chicago, something like that. They're going in to check out the books, and they've just been told that, say, homosexuality is innate, and you're born this way, you can't change, and it's only bigoted, intolerant people who have different views, and you need to experiment with your sexuality, and you know, if you're not really at home with being male or female, you should experiment, and maybe you're really transgender and explore this, and so on. These different things, and regardless of the motivation of those behind it, let's say they have the best intentions, you know, this is what's being presented. So now the kid's going to go to the school library to check things out. So in the library, at least, they'd have books presenting the other position, correct?
I am so glad you brought this up, because it's seems like a really boring topic, and it's so important. And I did a search on two libraries, the library I worked in, which was Deerfield High School, and then New Trier, which is a very well-known, very prestigious school on the North Shore of Chicago. They're a school library because you can access them. Sometimes you'll need a password, but at this time you didn't have to. And I used the search terms lesbian, gay, homosexuality, sexual orientation, and I found, depending on the library size, between 50 and 120 resources written from a liberal perspective on homosexuality, and not a single book like your book written by a conservative scholar. And I went to my principal at my school, who was actually the person who hired me before they knew I was conservative, And I pointed this out, and she and the head librarian pointed to what are called collection development policies, CDPs, which all libraries use to create their book collection and other resources. And what people don't understand is that collection development policies are de facto censorship protocols, because they require, before they purchase a book, that it be positively reviewed by at least two of their professionally recognized review journals, which are liberal by nature. And so the deck is stacked against it and getting any conservative resources in. And I said to our principal, I said, don't you think ideological balance should supersede CDPs? And she said, yes, but they never did anything. And so our taxes are subsidizing these really, and I think even civil libertarians and those who are committed to pedagogical soundness in schools should care about this issue.
Right. Fairness, exposure to diversity of ideas. I noticed the ESPN comment after the brouhaha over the Chris Broussard comments. I've talked about it yesterday on the air with regard to the NBA basketball player Jason Collins. They apologized for the distraction, said it was respectful change of ideas, exchange of ideas, but they apologized for the distraction that the comments caused and said that, you know, we stand for diversity and, you know, applaud Jason Collins coming out, something like that. It's like, wait, if you stand for diversity, you should applaud Jason Collins coming out and you should applaud Chris Broussard for speaking out. But diversity, as you know, means anything but. Inclusivity means exclusivity. Tolerance means intolerance, and diversity basically means my way or the highway. Lori, I do want to get back to your comments about the Jason Collins is the new Jackie Robinson. I wrote an article about that. It's on townhall.com. Folks can read it right now. But I just want to get a perspective from a caller in Montgomery County, Maryland. My wife and I lived there for a number of years. We've got a great radio audience there on WAVA in D.C. And there's a lot that's happened with Montgomery County Schools. Our friend Peter Sprigg has been on the front lines with that. So, Cam, I want to bring you into the conversation. What's happening in Montgomery County School District that you're aware of?
Well, I just see more children that can come to school, especially boys or girls dressed. Boys dressed like girls, girls dressed like boys. And they're very sensitive to that, you know. It's so overwhelming to me. I'm just surprised at what I see in these days and times in school and what they are sensitive to. You have very few kids that you can talk about Christianity. I mean, God is nowhere here spoken in the schools anymore, and I'm just so heartbroken behind that. You never know who you can speak to about scripture or pray with a child. You just have to be very careful. And I just want to say, Mr. Brown, thank you so much for this program, because I tell you, I stand right behind Chris Broussard and what he spoke, the way he spoke out. I'm just all over that. I'm so proud of him, I can't tell you.
Yeah. And Kim, yeah, it can be discouraging.
Yeah.
You see what's happening. And in fact, Lori, if you could just chime in here for a moment. We know what happened actually in the schools in Montgomery County, and some aggressive things were pushed that were basically transgender activists, you know, with stories about a boy who believes he's a girl. And, you know, we have compassion on these kids. We're not talking about someone with, you know, who's born with ambiguous sexual organs. We're talking about someone who's fully biologically and genetically male but believes he's a woman. We want to help these kids from the inside out, but they're encouraged the opposite way now. No, instead, come to school. The girl dressed as a boy, the boy dressed as a girl. Here's a mom saying that she's seen this happen. Is this exaggerated, Lori, or are we making a mountain out of a molehill?
No, and that one of the problems is conservatives ignore all these little tiny events that ultimately will bring this tsunami to every school. There are organizations out there that are committed to bringing these transgender policies to every school, to elementary schools. It's happening in different schools across the nation. And in fact, you, I'm sure, Michael, have talked about the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has an educational arm called Teaching Tolerance. And I just recently, within the last month or so, wrote about Teaching Tolerance, sends out this newsletter that thousands of teachers subscribe to. It's a free newsletter. And they made recommendations about what administrators, counselors, and teachers should be doing in their own schools, one of which is to establish policy that says if girls are permitted to wear dresses, boys are permitted to wear dresses. It's an explicit policy they want counselors, teachers, and administrators to work for. And, of course, then there's organizations that are, you know, GLSEN, which is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, also is affirming of transgender policies, and there's other organizations, too. So if we don't, if we can have success in a few schools, they will stand as examples and inspire other parents to take positions. We had it here in a high school just last fall.
Austin, right. Tell you what, we come back, we'll talk about the success in that high school, 866-348-7884. And I want to talk about what's happening in California. I've got some audio clips to play for you folks that I don't know if they'll have you on the edge of your seat or on your knees. Stay with us.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know there's a lot to talk about when you don't even finish introducing your guest and get all the details of what she's involved in and doing, because there's so much to cover. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown with you, talking with Lori Higgins of the Illinois Family Institute. Lori, before we talk about what's happening in Chicago area, where you saw a victory where people stood up together, parents stood up together, let's just listen to what's happening now in California. Joey, let's play clip number 3. Many of you listening will remember that we discussed this SB 777, a bill that makes mandatory celebration of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender history for all classes, K through 12, every district. No parents can opt their students out. No teachers can opt out from teaching it. Mandatory. And of course, the textbooks made in California then are used, because of the size of the state, in many other parts of the country. And the bill is now law in California. Let's listen to what's happening in the schools.
California Department of Education has released its new reading list for K-12 students, and for the first time ever, it is recommending kids read so-called gay literature. Sacramento Bureau Chief Jeanette Miranda is live tonight with reaction.
Well, because of recent budget cuts, the state has been unable to update its recommended reading list. It finally did so this week and includes the cultural and civil rights struggles of today. Included for the first time are winners of the Stonewall Book Awards, which recognize lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender literature.
It's good to teach kids that, you know, everyone's different and we are all people and we can all be accepted for who we are. And I think it's just really great to see those books being recommended.
The books are recommended according to age, from young kids' activity books celebrating gay rights leader Harvey Milk, to books for older kids like I Am Jay, a novel about transgender teens, and Totally Joe, telling about a boy coming out.
There is a full-scale war, a sexual war.
Social conservatives are appalled. They say such topics promoting alternative lifestyles have no place on the state's official reading list.
I've seen the Harvey Milk activity book, and it doesn't really make a big deal over Harvey Milk's sexual orientation. He was a guy that really stood up for everyone.
The list also includes newly published works on immigration, such as De Donde, a book that talks about the reasons why people come to the U.S. illegally.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, and the immigration part. By the way, Kim, who called from Montgomery County, works in the school system. She's an eyewitness to what's going on in the schools. So, Lori, we're sounding the alarm. You've been doing it for years. I've been doing it for years. Let's talk about a victory. Let's talk about when parents, educators, whoever it was, got involved and said enough is enough. What happened?
Well, it was a high school. It's called East Aurora, which is primarily Hispanic, and then a small percentage of African Americans and a smaller percentage of whites. And last year, toward the end of the year, they had an administrator came to the school board and suggested to them that in order to be in compliance with our anti-bullying law, they had to have this transgender policy that permitted students to use the restrooms of the gender with which they identify. It required teachers to refer to them by the pronouns of the gender with which they identify, and to cross-dress at school without their parents' permission. When this got out, and what's interesting about this is this one administrator had been working with someone from, it's a group called the Illinois Safe Schools Alliance, which split off from GLSEN, through the summer to create this policy, which she brought to the school board, and it actually, our anti-bullying law does not say anything about having policy like this. So Monday of this 1 week, the policy was adopted. By Friday, there was such a hue and cry from the public, primarily religious leaders and Hispanic parents courageously showed up at these meetings and spoke with grace, but boldness and firmness, and it was rescinded. Then a couple days later, they created a committee to revisit the policy. And here's the outrage. The committee had people from homosexual activist organizations, and they had transgender activists. None of them, there was like five people on this group of, I think, 23, who were either transgender themselves or worked for homosexual activist organizations, none of whom lived in the community. Mm. And when I wrote one article about this, well, ultimately I wrote two or three, but at this point I had written one, and the press was saying, would continually refer to IFI as an outside organization, even though we didn't have anyone on the committee, no IFI employee was showing up at meetings. And the people who were sitting on the committee, the transgenders and those from homosexual activist organizations, were never identified as outside organizations, from outside organizations. Anyways, the whole thing fell apart. The committee ultimately disbanded. It finally got out that these transgenders were on the committee who didn't live in the community, didn't have high school students, and the parents so far have won. And actually, what was interesting is after they disbanded this committee, one of the homosexual activists from Illinois Safe Schools Alliance sent a letter to all of the committee members, and there were some conservatives on there, said that they were going to organize anyway and meet somewhere else off school property in order to try to continue this process, even though the community has expressed their wishes.
Yeah, and Lori, bottom line is the only way these folks will triumph with their agenda, with their point of view, with their worldview, with what they want to indoctrinate our kids with and policies they want to institute, is if parents let it happen. Because ultimately, if enough parents say no, the school will be powerless to override that. Hey, Lori, stay with us. I so appreciate you taking time to join us today. There's a report about a school activity where girls were encouraged to kiss girls. Is that report accurate or not? We're going to find out more from Lori Higgins. Remember, if you're unable to continue to listen right now, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you can listen to all shows archived or listen live online. Friends, I got a really touching note the other day from a couple. They support our ministry, and they got so fed up with Starbucks standing for gay activism and not listening to others who were asking them to remain neutral in the culture wars, they sold their stock in Starbucks and sent $1,000 to our ministry from the sale of their stock. That meant the world to me. It could have been $1 or $1 million. The fact was that was sacrificial. That was an investment. So it meant the world to me. It was the spirit with which it was done and why they were standing with us. I want to encourage you to invest in the work that we're doing. I want to encourage you to be part of this moral, cultural, spiritual revolution based on the gospel, based on the principles of Jesus. Stand with us. Help us with your gift. Recognize the work we are doing and the difference that we are making. Recognize what would happen if our voice was not here. And for your gift of any size, I will send you a copy of the hardcover edition of A Queer Thing Happened to America, with which postage is $35. Your gift of any size, I want to send that to you. Be as generous as you can, would you? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Hey friends, your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Together, we are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So when does a revolution start? I'm talking about just a secular revolution. It starts when people get to a breaking point, when they say enough is enough, when they say we can't live oppressed or without our rights or in this condition any longer, because they know revolution is costly. Now, that's in the natural. That's secular worldly, and there's bloodshed and violence. We absolutely deplore using violent means to advance God's purpose. In fact, you can't. You cannot use the flesh to advance the things of the Spirit. But we absolutely believe in a Jesus revolution. God's people being so radically changed that we go and change the world, go against the grain, swim against the tide, overcome evil with good, overcome hatred with love, and whatever it costs us, it costs us. We are finally awakening now in our culture to what is happening. And because it's affecting our kids in schools, and because it's affecting our freedom of religion and speech, believers are finally saying, oh, that's why you're talking about revolution. Well, it's biblical anyway. It's the Jesus call to change the world. But yes, that's why we're talking about it. 866-348-7884. My guest from the Illinois Family Institute, Lori Higgins. You know, Lori, we were partway through introducing you and we started to get onto one of the key topics we're talking about today. But what's your role within IFI, and generally, what is IFI doing?
Well, IFI is a public policy organization, so we work both in the Capitol to work for and good policy and against good bad policy and law. And I write for the Illinois Family Institute. I'm the cultural analyst, so I'm looking at, you know, social and political issues. I try to help people understand the problematic ideas that sort of undergird bad policy so that they feel better equipped to go and, you know, engage in the public debate on these issues. And I write a lot about homosexuality because I don't think that there is an issue that more seriously threatens First Amendment speech and religious rights and parental rights and the rights of children than this issue.
Now, Lori, has this been a lifelong focus of yours, or like me, was this something that came knocking at your door and you said, I've got to do something because this is knocking at the door of my kids' education, my grandkids' education, and knocking at the door in terms of threats to religious freedom and freedom of speech, freedom of conscience? So has this been something on your radar for many, many years as a Christian? Or was this something that you didn't go asking for, but it came knocking at your door?
No, I didn't come asking for it, nor do I actually want it. I was a typical stay-at-home mom. I started back to school when my kids were young and to finish my college degree because I hadn't finished it. Then I went to school at the high school, went to work at the high school, and that's when I saw it was happening. I was never an activist. I wrote a rare letter to the editor. If I did, it was about abortion, and that was very rare. I'm kind of a hermit by nature. I don't actually like doing public things. But it's exactly what you said. I saw what was going on in my public school, and I thought, it's not even educationally sound to promote one set of ideas and not explore, spend equal time on the dissenting points of view. And so that's when I started, you know, addressing it publicly. And as I did it, and actually in my high school, I actually never asked for these resources to be removed or for that not to be presented to kids. I said, if you're going to present them, you have to spend equal time studying the best ideas from the best scholars from a conservative perspective on critical race theory or homosexuality. And that was what was controversial, asking for equal time.
Yeah. And Lori, it's so important for other moms, other dads, students to hear you because they may know me, and even though I don't like the constant battle and having to deal with these things, I'm made for it. I'm wired for it. I'm a talker. I'm used to controversy. But you really, in that sense, would be a picture of the reluctant activist. Okay, back to this report about what happened in the school. Were kids asked girls to kiss each other at a school event?
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
John Stott said it like this: we should not ask what is wrong with the world, for that diagnosis has already been given. Rather, we should ask what has happened to the salt and light. I think I'm going to tweet that out. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. My guest this hour, Lori Higgins, who is a cultural analyst, writer with the Illinois Family Institute. Lori, one other thing I've known now over the few years of working with you, aside from you being a reluctant activist, as we could say, and doing this out of a duty to God and family, and joyfully because it's the Lord, but I know you'd rather be in the back and not be up speaking and not be in the center of controversy, because you get attacked pretty ruthlessly when you do this. But I know you also are very diligent to get facts right, to make sure the sources are accurate. So when I read a report that you write on the IFI website, I'm always confident that you've done your due diligence. Is it true that something happened at a school event where girls were encouraged to kiss other girls or something like that? Can you shed light on what the report was and if there's any accuracy to it?
Sure, yes. Well, it's true. It happened. It was the Linden Avenue Middle School in New York. I think it was Red Hook, New York. But the school definitely is called Linden Avenue Middle School. And the principal of the school had worked with college students from the far left-wing Bard College on a bullying prevention workshop. And one of the activities, students, girls, they separated boys and girls. The girls were asked to kiss girls.
All right, now where did this happen?
This was called the Linden Avenue Middle School in New York, and I think the name of the city was Red Hook. I'm not sure. I don't have the information right in front of me, but I know school.
Okay, and middle school.
Middle school.
Our oldest granddaughter, Eliana, is 12. She's in middle school. What are the age of middle school kids?
That is, 12 to 14, and I think this was 7th or 8th graders, so it was 13 and 14-year-olds. And parents were not notified ahead of time. They were very angry about it. It created quite a controversy. And the principal defended this decision, and it was almost amusing if the activity weren't so troubling. She said that there was no discussion of any sexual acts, and that's why they used kissing. Well, as all adults know, kissing can be either platonic or sexual. She also said that this was in an activity that was intended to teach kids to say no to unwanted advances, which reveals that connotations of the kissing were sexual, because no one considers a platonic kiss on the cheek to be an unwanted advance. So she was hoist by her own petard in trying to defend this activity. And this is what's problematic is, all it takes is one administrator, one teacher working to get, you know, some kind of activity, and often this is through anti-bullying programs, which is very cunning, because what they've done is they bring the pro-homosexual ideas in through bullying prevention programs, and then if someone objects to it, they try to paint them as endorsing bullying, which is absurd. Not every bullying prevention program is created equal. Some are problematic. And we need to be comfortable saying that.
All right. Let's just pause on this point for one more moment, the bullying issue. Because you have experience in the schools and you've raised kids and now you're a grandmother, we know that bullying is a real issue. And plus, we were kids at one point, and either we were bullied or bullied others or whatever. It's been a perennial problem. And you keep hearing real horror stories of kids who kill themselves. You know, they were left out, heterosexual, homosexual. It's heartbreaking. You read the stories, just tears you up. What are the main reasons that kids get bullied in school?
Well, the main reasons is if they're perceived to be weak. That's sort of the general category. If they're perceived to be weak or easily victims, then those are the kids that are bullied. And some of the specific things we all know, kids are bullied because of their physical appearance, because they're uncoordinated. I mean, there's a whole host of reasons. I mean, I know when I was working at the public schools, there's kids who had Asperger's syndrome, which is on the autism spectrum, and they have some very peculiar behaviors. If people don't know that they have autism, they're likely to be made fun of. When we have bullying prevention programs, no bullying prevention program specifically mentions every condition for which students are being bullied. And yet they're not considered ineffective because they don't specifically mention any every condition. We can address bullying without specifically mentioning gender identity or transgenderism and homosexuality. And even we have kids that are bullied because of drug use, and we know the names they're called, or because of their promiscuous behavior. We know what their names are, what names they're called. We don't ever have someone come in to affirm promiscuity in order to end the bullying of promiscuous students, particularly girls. And that reveals what's really going on is they believe the way, the left believes the way to end bullying is to normalize homosexuality, to eradicate more conservative moral beliefs, or make it socially, politically, and legally impossible to express them.
Yeah, so I wonder, when you hear of a kid that some girl that the other girls thought wasn't cool and relentlessly bullied and mocked, and then she hangs herself. And then you hear about some other kid, maybe autistic, who was mocked and treated cruelly, even beaten up, and then he hangs himself. And then you hear about some gay kid that the others were ganging up on and calling sissy, whatever, and he hangs himself, he or she, whatever the case is, in each one. It's gut-wrenching. But I wonder, why is the blood of the gay-identified kid more important than the blood of the autistic kid or the girl that was deemed ugly or something? Why can't you teach bullying as bad? Why must you teach gay as good? And I'm not say, Asperger's syndrome on the exact same level of homosexuality. I'm sure gay activists listening to the show will misquote me and take it out of context. But you don't teach Asperger's is good, or obesity is good, or let's have a fat pride parade, or an obese American month. You say, okay, bullying is bad, and be nice to kids, especially those that are different. And if you see someone doesn't have a friend, be a friend. I mean, bullying is nothing new. And yet the gay mantra is that it's only effective when you normalize and celebrate homosexuality, then the bullying goes away. Well, put aside that claim. What about the bullying of the other kids? What about them?
Well, right, because they don't have an advocacy group that are committed to what I say the left really does, and it's shameful, is exploit the tragic suicides of kids who identify as homosexual. And I think the left doesn't, and actually there have been some articles in the last year about what does it do when you make these kids out to be martyrs in the press. This was I think it was in The Advocate, I don't have it right in front of me, but someone had written an article saying we have to stop this because it is cultivating a mindset among these kids that this is what they should be doing. They will become a gay martyr. They will advance the cause.
Yep.
And also the message that they offer a bleakly deterministic view to kids who experience same-sex attraction, saying you're born that way and this is your only path. And I think it's a tragic thing I'm not just talking about suicide, about that they have to live a life where they embrace homosexuality as the center of their identity. That's a bleakly deterministic view to offer kids who often come from dysfunctional family, who have experienced childhood molestation. We need to offer them the freedom that's found in Christ.
And on top of it, a lot of kids, especially in their early teen years, are going through a lot of sexual confusion, and many that think they may be gay change their minds or realize they're not. I was talking to a middle school teacher in Charlotte on a flight to or from New York, and she said to me, and she was all for, you know, pro-gay and all this, she said, but, you know, a 12-year-old boy came out in school. She said, it's actually the cool thing to do now, to come out. Came out. And then came back the next day and said, I think I made a mistake. Can I take it back? Yet it's celebrated in the media. They watch Glee. It's the thing to do. Jason Collins is the new hero. And we've got to tell them there's a better way. Hey, Lori, 1 minute, then we've got a break. You did not feel that Jason Collins should be dubbed a courageous hero. You pointed to someone else who you thought is a real hero or heroine that we should be commending. Who was that?
Berenal Stutzman. She's the 70-year-old florist in the state of Washington who was asked to provide floral arrangements for a same-sex wedding. And this was actually a man that she had served in, just, you know, sold him flowers. She had nothing against him as a person, but she couldn't, because of her relationship with Christ, she felt she couldn't use her gifts and her time and her labor to profit from a same-sex wedding, and she's refused to serve him, and she did it with great grace and kindness in her refusal and her explanation to him, explained it was grew out of her faith. And now she's being sued by the state of Washington because she violates their anti-discrimination policy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We can see that this kind of persecution is coming.
Yeah, it's here, and it's time to stand. Lori, we so appreciate your time, and we appreciate you as a mom, as a grandmother, as an educator, being on the front lines, standing up for truth. God bless you. Thanks so much, Lori.
Thanks so much, Michael.
We'll come back with more of the Jackie Robinson question.
It's fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, a lot to cover. I'm going to sprint to the end of this hour. Another reminder, all of our friends in the greater New York area, our great station WMCA is sponsoring a special event Friday night, May 10th. That's a week from Friday, Pillars of Faith Church in Queens. We'll be blessing you with free materials as you come. Your hearts will be stirred. Time for Jesus Revolution in New York, Friday night, May 10th. I'll be giving you more details as we get closer. We've got some great events Saturday with our friends on WLIX in Long Island, preaching in the Bronx on Sunday. Not this weekend, but the weekend coming after. Okay, I'm not going to give out the number because I just don't have time to take calls right now. One listener called in and wanted to know what happened to our friend Randy. Randy is a man who listens to WMCA morning to 8 to 5, basically. Identifies as gay, but wants to serve the Lord, was concerned he was given over to a reprobate mind, struggling with HIV. His last lover had HIV and committed suicide. And I talked to Randy on the air a week ago, Thursday. And I told him that having same-sex desires is not a sin, or being unable to become heterosexual is not a sin, but to not live a holy life is a sin, and that he doesn't need a man in his life right now, and he doesn't need sex in his life. He just needs the Lord and the body of Christ around him. And I encouraged him to just look to the Lord, that he was not given over to a reprobate mind, that God's mercy was there for him. Randy wrote to me really blessed and encouraged, and just wanted to go forward in Jesus and needing prayer because he does have some serious physical issues. So we want to stand with our brother Randy, who I take it is listening even now. Randy, callers are asking about you. People do love you and are standing with you. All right. Some years back, as radical gay activist curriculum was being introduced in Massachusetts schools, some video was released. This is not a year or two ago. I mean, we're talking like a decade old. It's elementary. This stuff has been going on. Just listen to this school-based discussion. Clip number 4, Joey.
And I don't know what to do about this, but as a school, are we saying that the kids have to support this? I mean, I guess that's what it sounds like to me, that we're saying if a child comes from a background that says that homosexuality is not correct, are we telling that child that they're supposed to? This is what you're supposed to do? I guess I keep getting that feeling that if a person is coming from that background, that we're supposed to tell them this is right.
I think that we are asking kids to believe that this is right, not as a matter of moral principle, but as a matter of we're educating them, and this is part of what we consider to be a healthy education.
What we're trying to have people do is to understand that people are, and that we have to respect the right of all of us to just be, and be who we are. And we do that in the classroom when we teach so that everyone can learn. There isn't a right way, there isn't a wrong way, there isn't a good way, there isn't a bad way. The way that it is what it is.
All right, so listen, these are teachers, educators, talking about they're going to have this, you know, emphasis on homosexuality in the schools. And, okay, a kid comes from a background where Christian parents, they teach against it. Are we telling them that that's wrong, that the parents are wrong, that the religious faith is wrong? Yes, yes, yes. Undermining you, friends. You need to find out. You need to get involved in the schools and find out if this is happening. And if so, say, this is not math. This is not science. This is not history. You're not going to indoctrinate my kid and undermine my values in the schools. And listen to this discussion among little kids. Clip number five.
I am the judge, and I'm saying, no, you two can't get married. I don't care if you love them. You can't get married. How do you think you guys will feel? Mad?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, now the majority is not gay or lesbian couples. I think they should think about what if the majority was gay or lesbian couples and there was a law that said you had to be gay or lesbian and you couldn't get married to the opposite sex. I think they should think about that and see how they would feel, and then they might know how the gays and lesbians feel, and then I think that they might...
It's like they want to be the bosses of other people.
It's just like having prejudice against blacks or Jews.
Okay, what do these little kids know about the meaning of marriage or the meaning of sexuality? They don't even understand what sexuality is, but they're being brainwashed into being taught that if you say, you know, you should have a mom and a dad, or marriage is not two people, marriage is a man and a woman. Oh, they just want to be the boss of people. They're just being whatever, mean, nasty. That's what's happening in many schools. That's why I documented it in detail in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Okay, I never got back to the subject why Jason Collins is not the new Jackie Robinson. But read the article, and if you can listen to the second hour, I'm going to touch on this in the second hour. You can again listen on my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, subscribe to the podcast. It is absolutely free. But go to townhall.com and read my article, Why Jason Collins is Not the New Jackie Robinson. You'll find it eye-opening. And I think my older listeners as well, and my African-American listeners, I think you'll appreciate the article all the more, but it's for young people to read and be educated by as well. Chris Broussard from ESPN tweeted out this further message and said, this was late Monday night, today on Outside the Lines, as part of a larger, wide-ranging discussion on today's news, I offered my personal opinion as it relates to Christianity, a point of view that I've expressed publicly before. I realize that some people disagree with my opinion, and I accept and respect that, as has been the case in the past. My beliefs have not and will not impact my ability to report on the NBA. I believe Jason Collins displayed bravery with his announcement today. I have no objection to him or anyone else playing in the NBA. Exactly consistent with who he is. And to my pleasant surprise, ESPN is standing with him right now. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? But that's what's happening at the moment. Friends, obviously, it's essential reading. A Queer Thing Happened to America. Now, those who just want to get it on Kindle, just go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, get it on Nook. You can download it. You can read it. I've got a whole chapter on what's happening in children's schools, whole chapter on what's happening in colleges, whole chapter what's happening in the media, whole chapter what's happening to our religious freedoms, whole chapter about the rewriting of the Bible, and on it goes. But it's yours for your gift of any size. So as always, we ask you to stand with us. We are listener supported, as we remind you on a daily basis. So thank you for being part of this. Thank you for being a monthly supporter or one-time supporter. And for your gift of any size, we want to send you A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700-page hardcover. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Hey, friends, those were second graders you were listening to, all right? And I deal with what's happening even in elementary school in my book, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, this is about the kids, friends. This is about our children. This is about precious, impressionable little ones. Are you going to rise to the task and get involved in their lives, get involved in the school system, and make a difference? Well, have you heard the news? Dr. Phil is bashing ex-gays. But is there such a thing as ex-gays?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Boy, so much is happening. I told the listeners in the last hour that I'm having a hard time sleeping because I'm so supercharged with burden, with vision, with things to write, with messages to get out. And we are living in one of those critical moments in history where the church can really make a difference. And I'm glad, in one respect, that the lines are getting drawn more clearly because it is enabling us to take a stand more clearly. It is almost forcing us to take a stand more clearly. So today you're going to be educated. Today you're going to be charged. Today you're going to be encouraged. 866-348-7884. A lot's going on, friends. I wrote an article yesterday. Will Chris Broussard become a martyr of the media? The Christian journalist who, when asked for his Christian opinion about a man claiming to be a Christian and being a practicing homosexual at the same time, he gave a clear biblical view and has been roasted and attacked for it. I wrote that article yesterday, Will Chris Broussard become a martyr of the media? And today an article, you can read it on townhall.com, why Jason Collins is not the new Jackie Robinson. Now, later in the show, I'm going to bring on a guest who's going to discuss some things Dr. Phil has said on his show, on Letterman's show, bashing the idea of ex-gays, clear gay activist rhetoric out of his mouth. But first, I have a special guest, and all of you listening in the greater Charlotte area, and I live in the greater Charlotte area as we speak to folks across America right now, I want you to listen in particular, 866-348-7884. My guest is a friend, Dr. Michael Stevens. He is the pastor of University City Church, and he is a Black American who was not supportive of President Obama calling openly gay NBA player Jason Collins and saying how proud he was of him, and Mrs. Obama saying, "We have your back," and he's been in some controversy for us. Michael, this first section segment, we've just got about 2 minutes now, but welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on short notice. How in the world did you get involved in controversy over this, dear brother?
Controversial? I'm not sure, but Dr. Mike Brown, good to be on the show. Thanks for having me. And I just commend you for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
I guess the media is now policing the Facebook and the social media outlets of the world. I was making a statement on my Facebook page from Portland, Oregon. I was traveling, visiting on work there. And I just simply said that I am not in agreement of President Barack Obama taking a minute out to make a personal phone call to a man who is openly coming out in the homosexual community. Now, two things. Number one, I felt that if, you know, President has more important things to do, like calling the Dawson victims and the Benghazi victims, but not the homosexual who comes out of the closet. Number two, real quick, I did make the statement "homo" on my statement, not as a gay slur, but as shorthand writing, real quick, for the short term homosexuality.
All right, and you have been blasted for that, Michael. We come back and we'll have some time to talk about this. I want your perspective as a Black American. I want your perspective on the issue of Jason Collins. Is he a courageous hero? Is he like Jackie Robinson? And then I want your take on whether it's possible for someone who is homosexual to actually change. And is this a problem we should be thinking about in the church? Does this exist as an issue in the church? My guest, Dr. Michael Stevens, has written on this as well. Talk about controversial. Stay with me.
Oh, rising flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. My special guest joining me on short notice today, Dr. Michael Stevens, pastor of University City Church with about 1,500 members here in Charlotte. Dr. Michael, I want to really get into a serious controversy here that, even I don't touch on all too much. You wrote a book as a black pastor addressing issues of homosexual practice in the church. What's the name of that book, and why in the world would you write something like that?
The name of the book is called Straight Up, and that is a direct terminology from the term down low. And so I took what the world has made into a national phenomenon among African-American men in particular who claim to be heterosexual but yet have a secret boyfriend slash husband on the side. There is a stigma oftentimes in the black community, particularly among men, of our bravado, our machoism, our manhood. Therefore, there is some estimate some a million plus African-American men who are on the down low. Again, these are men who consider themselves heterosexual, however, have tendencies to be with other men. Now, because of their positions in the church, positions in the media, positions in, areas of influence, they don't want to come out of the closet. Now, I wrote that book because there was a man by the name of J.L. King who wrote a book. Oprah Winfrey took his book and made it a national platform. However, he used the African-American church as his backdrop and a proverbial punching bag. I was hoping that some of the major African-American pastors around the country would deal with it, everywhere from your Eddie Long, your Thomas Jakes, Creflo Dollars, but they did not deal with it. And so I figured I'd take a pen, take a piece of paper, and write a book. And I did that. And so it deals with homosexuality in the black church, and it gives an answer biblically how men can be freed, set free, healed, delivered by the grace and the power of the Lord.
All right. What type of response have you gotten, and do you think that some pastors and leaders are in denial about this issue in the church?
I don't think pastors are in denial. They know it's there. The problem and the challenge for many African-American pastors is oftentimes that down-low man is probably or could be perhaps the choir leader or the organist, the minister of music, could be the associate pastor, or maybe a big, generous contributor to the church. So he knows that the engine has to run, and the show must go on. I hate to use those words, but therefore he won't touch it oftentimes. And then, obviously, it's in the pulpit. Overall, I think we've had a very positive and kingdom, I hate to use church words, but we've had a very positive response. Of course, there'd be criticism because it is a lightning rod in the black community.
Yeah, it's a lightning rod in the whole church these days, and you know it's going to take courage to address this, but you're coming with a message of life and hope and transformation. And when you see something happen, say, with Jason Collins, he may be a very nice guy in other respects, and he was a decent basketball player, not a star or anything like that. He's being commended for coming out as gay, and then people are comparing him to Jackie Robinson. I wrote an article just saying why the comparison is completely unfair in terms of the environment then versus the environment now, and where were the black Ellen DeGeneres's and Elton John's and Tim Cook's and David Geffen's and Tammy Baldwin's and Barney Frank and these, you know, national leaders who were gay. Where were the equivalent of, you know, blacks, and where was the media swooning over Jackie Robinson the way they're swooning over Jason Collins? But how do you feel about that in terms of him being commended for this? And what's your concern as a pastor in terms of how this affects young people?
Well, you know, in comparison to so many of the national icons you've just used in the homosexual community, I think the thing that really got under my skin was sports is, I think, one of the last industries that is really male-driven, particularly in the African-American community. And I think when it comes to basketball, that is a huge platform. It's almost like one of the last platforms where you have seen the two combine. Now, he is no Jackie Robinson, period. as you know, Dr. Brown, there's an always ongoing subtle agenda of normalcy and acceptance from the homosexual community, and they make that civil rights claim and civil rights argument that we need to basically compare this to the African-American narrative. That's not true. That's not correct. It bothers me. I think it is an indictment on the church. And by the way, I think you said it right. He is no basketball star. He averaged less than 3 points a game, second string. But it's a politically correct thing for LeBron and Shaq and Kobe and Dwayne Wade to come out and say, welcome to our family, or welcome to, you know, acceptance. That's not true. And if there's hypocrisy, it's among these other basketball players, because I doubt very seriously when Jason Collins takes his male lover and wants to go out to dinner and play footsie or whatever, I doubt very seriously you'll see these national basketball icons sitting in the room with him. Say nothing for a locker room experience or rooming on a trip away from town.
Right. So if we think of, say, guys who were uncomfortable showering with Jackie Robinson, you know, white men who, because of prejudice and ignorance and hatred, didn't want to do it. Well, that's just what it was. It was prejudice, it was ignorance, it was hatred, because there's no difference between a white man, a black man, a yellow man, if you're all taking showers together and so on. But by definition, a gay man is attracted to the same sex. He's going to be right. romantically attracted. He can be aroused by. So it's not homophobic for some guy to say, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable. We do a lot of horseplay. It's a men's kind of environment. We act certain ways around each other because we're all men and we know it. And it's not that we're looking to beat up some gay guy. It's just a certain environment. And yet, you know, the NFL is saying, oh, no, we're going to have to train people and it's discrimination. If there's no difference between a homosexual locker room and a heterosexual, then why announce it? Why make a big deal
right.
about it? Nobody stopped Jason Collins from playing basketball, but Jackie Robinson was stopped because of bigotry and hatred in his day. But nobody stopped Jason Collins, yeah. and he didn't have to tell anyone if it doesn't really matter.
And, Mike, the way we see it here in the South, it's just a hot mess. There's such confusion and frustration on the homosexuality camp with their agendas and their plans. And for example, and you said it so very well, by the way, I'll add to that and say this. You know, what happens when he doesn't make the team next year? You can already see the lawyers lining up, the discrimination suits lining up. You know, what happens when someone shouts a slur from the stands if he misses a three-point goal at the last second shot?
Uh-huh.
Imagine what this is setting us up for. Now, they want me to apologize in the meeting. I told them I'm not going to apologize for using the word homo. It was not a gay slur, and it certainly wasn't a racial slur. It was a
right.
short, quick version of saying homosexuality. If I said homosexuality, would that have made you feel any better? Probably not. So let's kind of get over it. Let's move on. And don't criticize me for being a Christian and conservative, but yet, you know, you won't criticize this man for coming out of the closet.
Yeah, and Michael, you again were not putting out an official communique to the press. You know how to speak to the media. You weren't doing, you were just communicating, and it's shorthand often. You know, you're shooting out a message. You're making sure something fits within Twitter guidelines or, you know, whatever. So look, if you wanted to be offensive, you could be, but that's not your heart. That's not who you are. And friends, I encourage you to get the book Straight Up, The Church's Official Response to the Epidemic of Down-Low Living. It's particularly relevant in the African-American community, but I think all Christians and pastors should read it, as I did myself, the author, Dr. Michael A. Stevens. Hey, last question for you, sir. You're invested as a pastor in the lives of young men, young women, families. Is there genuinely hope for someone to change? We know people struggle. We know people feel they were born this way. Is it really possible through the gospel, through counseling, through whatever, for men and women who are same-sex attracted to not only live holy lives, but actually to have their desires change?
Dr. Michael Brown, absolutely, unequivocally, yes. And I'll answer that question by what I told the media in Charlotte on a TV interview. If Jason Collins was invited to your church Sunday, would you accept him? I said, absolutely, with loving and embracing arms. He'll join many other homosexual men and women that, number one, that are still struggling, seeking healing, and those who've been healed and delivered for some 20, 30 years that are throughout our church by the power and the grace of the Lord. We are here to speak the truth in love. And unfortunately, Dr. Brown, we've had churches who speak the truth, but they show no love. And you've had other churches who've shown a whole lot of love, but they won't tell the truth. And that's
yeah.
what we've shared with the media. The church should comfort the afflicted, and we should afflict those that are comfortable.
Uh-huh. All right. And for those in the greater Charlotte area, let them know where University City Church meets.
We are conveniently located next to the Sam's Club in the University area, right off of I-85. It is 604 Doug Mays. Just look up University City Church in the University area next to Sam's Club.
And, you know, what's also neat, you've got a great heart for Israel, don't you?
Absolutely. And that's why I'm on the road some 20, 30, 40 weeks out of the year. I love doing what I do. We thank God for the opportunity to stand and support the Jewish state.
Awesome. Hey, it's great having you on. Thanks for joining us on short notice. Keep standing strong for the gospel, my dear brother.
Well, thank you for your example, and thank you for the opportunity to share on the show.
All right. Friends, we come back. I'm actually going to read to you my article on why Jason Collins is not the new Jackie Robinson. And then, oh, wait till you hear these Dr. Phil clips. Boy, oh boy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. The phone lines are now open, 866-348-7884. Connect with me on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Why do you want to do that? Because the moment an article is posted on Charisma News or Town Hall, you'll be notified. When we announce what we're talking about on the radio the next day, or a special guest, you'll be notified. When I preach a message and we post the audio, or debate, say my debate with Dr. James White, we post it online, boom, you know it. Same thing with Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, that's hashtag Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. You will be immediately in touch with everything we're doing. Yeah, we need awakening. We need revival. We need visitation. That's where everything has to start. That's the source from which everything will flow. It's the only hope for America right now. And I have never seen decay, moral, spiritual decay at this speed in my lifetime. Since I've been preaching, since I was 18 years old, I've been sounding the alarm and saying, wake up, look what's happening in society. It's been a burden that God's put on my heart. However, that being said, I've never seen things falling apart the way they are now. What a moment for us to wake up. If you live in the greater Atlanta area, if you're listening on WNIV right now, please join me this weekend. I'm doing a series of special meetings, maybe an hour out of Atlanta, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, crying out to God for revival fire. I believe you'll be changed as you come. You say, that's like a 2-hour drive for me. Well, it's a 4-hour drive for me. So I'll drive longer. You meet me there. For info, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just scroll down to the itinerary. All right, here's my latest article. I want to share it with you, why Jason Collins is not the new Jackie Robinson. This is on townhall.com. Read it today. As expected, the media has crowned Jason Collins, the first openly gay NBA player, the new Jackie Robinson. And the Human Rights Campaign has called Collins a hero for our own times. His actions were deemed worthy of a personal phone call from President Obama, who told Collins that he couldn't be prouder. Without disparaging Collins personally, I understand he had a great reputation among his teammates. Here are some reasons why he is absolutely not the new Jackie Robinson. When Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in 1947, there were no black equivalents of prominent and influential gays and lesbians like Ellen DeGeneres and Elton John, Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow, yes, gay and lesbian, Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, David Geffen, media mogul, Barney Frank, Tammy Baldwin, congresspeople, just to name a few. The comparison is actually laughable. The media was not swooning over black civil rights the way it is swooning over, quote, gay rights. Nor were leading politicians lining up to voice their support for black equality the way they're currently lining up to support, quote, gay equality. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt delivered his fourth inaugural address in 1945, there was no mention of blacks or of civil rights. In contrast, President Obama used his second inaugural address to push aggressively for the redefinition of marriage and other gay activist causes. Collins is already the darling of the media, with more interview requests than he could possibly accept, and so there's no possible way to compare his so-called courageous act with that of Robinson. Branch Rickey, the general manager of the Dodgers and the man behind Robinson's entry into Major League Baseball, said to him, "Jackie, we've got no army. There's virtually nobody on our side. No owner, no umpires, very few newspapermen. And I'm afraid that many fans may be hostile. We'll be in a tough position. We can win only if we can convince the world that I'm doing this because you're a great ball player and a fine gentleman. Collins may have been a fair basketball player, and he may be a fine gentleman, but there's no comparison between the two climates in which Robinson entered the major leagues and Collins made his announcement, nor can their courage be rightly compared. It's also unfair to compare skin color with sexuality, especially in the locker room. And it's important to remember that no one ever stopped Jason Collins from playing basketball because he was gay, since no one knew he was gay. So his sexual desires and romantic attractions were his own business, and his career was not hindered. In contrast, Jackie Robinson didn't have to come out as black. His skin color was known to all, and his baseball career potentially thwarted by racism. This again highlights a fundamental difference between skin color and sexuality. Let's not forget that skin color does not relate to a behavior. Homosexuality does. In the testosterone-driven context of the locker room, and with the unique male camaraderie that exists, the fact that a player is openly gay could be a legitimate distraction. Will a straight player feel as free to be himself around that player? In the words of former NFL star and now sports commentator Hines Ward, quote, "I don't think football is ready. There are too many guys in the locker room, and you know guys play around too much. Gay activists simply can't have it both ways. Either it's no big deal for a professional athlete on a team sport to be gay, meaning that nothing will change in the locker room and on the field of play, in which case there's no need for that athlete even to mention his or her sexuality. Or else there's a big deal with a player declaring that he's attracted and aroused by people of the same sex, in which case it's perfectly acceptable for some of the other team members to feel a little uncomfortable. Although today they'll be told that they're homophobic and sent to sensitivity training. I'm fully aware that many white athletes were uncomfortable showering with a black athlete, but that's simply a matter of prejudice and ignorance. For a straight athlete to be uncomfortable engaging in locker room horseplay with a gay athlete is understandable. And isn't the purpose of team sports the success of the team? Why make an announcement that could potentially be a distraction from the game at hand? It's also interesting to note that Collins was in a serious relationship with a woman for 8 years, breaking up without explanation just 1 month before they were to be married. He also has an identical twin brother who is straight. So it's obviously not genetic. Oh. This doesn't mean that Collins wasn't conflicted for years about his sexuality, but it does point to the fact that skin color and sexual romantic attractions cannot be rightly compared. WNBA star Cheryl Swoops provides eloquent testimony to this. She was married to her high school sweetheart from 1995 to 1999, and they had a son together. In 2005, she announced that she was a lesbian, famously saying, "I can't help who I fall in love with. No one can. Discovering I'm gay just sort of happened much later in life." In contrast, Jackie Robinson didn't discover he was black, nor did the revelation come to him later in life, which only underscores that gay is not the new black, and Jason Collins is not the new Jackie Robinson. I have a whole chapter in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, that explains how gay is not the new black. Essential reading. Stand with us. Help us. You recognize the importance of what we're doing. Maybe you've listened for years and never sent in a gift. Maybe you're a new listener and believe in who we are. Maybe you're a monthly supporter and you want to help even more. Here's the number to call. I want to send you A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700-page hardcover volume. For your gift of any size, we just ask you to be as generous as you can. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Or if you'd like to get two for the price of one, go to askdrbrown.org and just click on the online bookstore. We'll be back with Chris Doyle from the International Healing Foundation and some shocker quotes from Dr. Phil.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Dr. Phil has this very loud voice because he is a network star, and a lot of people listen to what he has to say as gospel. So when he comes out trashing the idea that there could be ex-gays or people who have been changed either by the gospel or through counseling or therapy of some kind, a lot of people listen to it and take it as true. And when parents are told just embrace your kid's sexual identity rather than offering them help or alternatives, a lot of parents will think that's gospel. We're going to set the record straight today. 866-348-7884. And this is especially relevant when in state after state, efforts are being made to make it illegal for a minor to get counseling and help if he or she has unwanted same-sex attractions, even if they want the counseling and even if the parents affirm it. My guest, Chris Doyle, who is leading the International Healing Foundation. He is a professional counselor, and he himself is a former homosexual married with children. Chris, thanks so much for joining us again on the Line of Fire. We've got you in a different time slot today, so you're brand new to a lot of our listeners. Thanks for joining us. Just let our folks know your own background and what you do for those that aren't familiar with your work.
Well, thanks again for having me, Dr. Brown. I appreciate it. I grew up in a Christian home, Dr. Brown. When I was 8 years old, I experienced sexual abuse, and I also had a very difficult time bonding with my father growing up and other men. And as a result, I developed unwanted same-sex attractions, and for about 15 years, lived a gay life. And when I was 23, I experienced a profound change in my sexuality, and all of my same-sex attractions just disappeared. Really in a short amount of time after going through some counseling, some developing healthy relationships with other men, and I started to realize, wow, there's a little bit more to this story than just people who are born gay. so that began my long road to becoming a counselor, and now 99% of the clients that I work with in the Washington, D.C. area are men who have unwanted same-sex attractions and want to change and want an alternative to living the gay life.
And we hear now, the media will blast it, or especially gay activists will blast it. You'll hear about someone who was a poster boy, John Polk, he and his wife, front page, Newsweek magazine. He came out of homosexuality, she came out of lesbianism. And now the reports that he's renounced being ex-gay and renounced therapy, and everyone says, aha, you see, people are in for the money, it's just a sham. Obviously, we hurt for him and we hurt for his wife, but what's your professional take on those types of situations, Chris?
Well, I think when we look at a situation like John Polk, and, John's a friend of mine, I don't judge John, and, Ann Polk is also a friend of mine, and my heart breaks for the end of their marriage. But what I think you need to really distinguish between some persons who have gone through a transformation or process as far as changing from gay to straight is, has that person really done their therapeutic work? Have they seen a counselor? Have they sat with someone and really worked through all those issues and have really gone through a process? Or have they just made a behavioral choice, which a lot of people have made, but it's not necessarily the same thing as going through a psychotherapeutic process and dealing with all the core wounds and issues that same-sex attraction has. You know, as anyone who works in this area knows, same-sex attraction is not about same-sex attraction. It's about the unmet emotional needs from a man or a woman that have. For men, it's men and women. Basically said, and they really have got to work through those issues in therapy and understand how that affects them and their sexuality. And unfortunately, John Polk is not someone that actually did that.
Yeah.
He has a great testimony, but unfortunately...
May not have been addressed. Okay, we come back. I will play those quotes from Dr. Phil and get a reaction from a professional counselor.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the broadcast today. Yeah, we've talked about sexual-related issues more this week because of what's happened with Jason Collins coming out, gay athlete in comparison, saying he's the new Jackie Robinson, and then an ESPN reporter as a Christian giving his Christian perspective on it and getting blasted for it, and the president calling Jason Collins and commending him and so on. These are issues we have to deal with, but ultimately we care about individual lives. Ultimately, we recognize the great majority of those who identify as gay and lesbian are not activists. And many of them are hurting people like everyone else, and some with particular types of wounds that need ministry or that need counseling. Hence, organizations like the International Healing Foundation, led by Chris Doyle. Chris, you have publicly called on Dr. Phil to apologize for comments that he's made. Let's first listen to these, and then I want to give you ample time to address your concerns. This is a show, Shocking Mom Revelations. It's about 1 month old on Dr. Phil. Let's play clip number one.
We don't believe that that is healthy and normal.
I'm very sorry that I'm going to disappoint you about this, but I just think that you're just dead wrong. I'm serious, I do.
I just believe in my God-given conscience that that's not what God intended. I mean, you know what, it's going to happen. But to me, just because a lot of people do it, doesn't make it right.
I understand that. And believe me, I am very much a Christian, and I respect your religious beliefs. I also believe that if you look at what we now know, that to just blatantly say, this is not a normal thing for her to do, is ignoring a vast body of information and research that I think that you should take into account.
All right. And again, the daughter has a girlfriend. She's come out as gay. The mother thinks it's playing on a softball team. And I've heard that from gals that play on a local softball team, even in the Charlotte area, how much pressure there is on them from other lesbian players to experiment and so on.
I love how he throws in the, by the way, I'm a Christian comment there.
Yeah, of course. Everybody's a Christian. So is Jason Collins. So is our president.
What we've got here, Dr. Phil, is, oh my gosh, I called you Dr. Phil. Basically using his bully pulpit here to say, I'm a scientist and I'm a Christian and, you know, your opinion doesn't matter. And we know so much more better than you, simple Christian woman who has a biblical understanding of homosexuality, and how dare you think different? And then the crowd goes wild. I mean, what is that? I mean, you know, it's amazing that that woman actually stood up and continued to fight for what she believed in after being bullied.
In fact, I want to play one more clip, and then I want to get your full response, talk about the article you wrote, what you're calling Dr. Phil to do. But I know of a woman who had been involved in a lesbian relationship, left it, got with her husband, was living right, was in a good relationship with her husband, playing on a softball team. Other lesbian women got seduced away and left her husband. Friends, this is reality. These things happen. So clip number two.
I feel confused and ashamed.
What are you ashamed of?
Who I am.
And who are you? Who are you that you're ashamed?
A lesbian.
Uh-huh. And you're ashamed of that because why? Because of what your mother's saying? Because of what you think, feel, believe? What you've been taught? Well, tell
what
me.
What I've been taught and how I make my mother feel. Mm-hmm. And what I am looked, how it's... looked as from the Christian community. I just blame myself, and I wish I could be straight so I wouldn't have to deal with all of this.
But see, what if blaming yourself for being gay is like blaming yourself for being tall? You can't get shorter.
There are ex-homosexuals who have done that. So, you know, that's I see that as proof that it is a choice.
Yeah, I don't believe there's any such thing as ex-gay. I think they may have thought they were at some point and mm-hmm. and then determined that they weren't, and that's fine.
All right. Obviously, Chris, you've got a ton to say. First, what would you say as a Christian and a professional counselor, what would you say to that young woman in terms of her feeling ashamed and wishing she could change? And then I want you to respond to Dr. Phil, speak to him directly. He could be listening, you never know, but I want you to speak to him directly anyway through the airwaves in terms of his saying there's no such thing as ex-gay. But first, speak to this young woman, 26 years old.
Well, first, my heart goes out to her. I understand how she feels. What you didn't hear in the eclipse is that the young woman was sexually abused when she was a kid. And Dr. Phil completely glossed over that fact. In fact, one of the parts of my article actually quoted him as saying, you know, when you're sexually abused, this changes things in you. It changes who you are. It's something you need to work through. There's research out there that shows correlation between people who are sexually abused and later develop SSA. So it's outrageous. And then for Dr. Phil to make that comment that being gay is like being tall, it's outrageous for an esteemed psychologist like Dr. Phil, who has access to all the information, for him to say that is completely in contradiction to what the best geneticists across the world know, is that very little of our behavior is determined by our genetics. While our height and our eye color and a lot of other physical characteristics that we have are, our sexual behavior is not. It determines whether we're a boy or a girl, our genes, not our sexual behavior. It's almost entirely learned and socialized. So for Dr. Phil to make that comment, it's just outrageous. It actually is a slap in the face to the best scientists out there.
All right, somehow, tell you what, Johnny, let's just reconnect with Chris. We're losing him. The phone line was cutting in and out, so we will get that fixed. But here's what Chris Doyle has said. He's pointed to a recent study published in the prestigious Archives of Sexual Behavior Journal titled Stability and Change in Same-Sex Attraction Experience and Identity by Sex and Age in a New Zealand Birth Cohort. This is 2013. It showed the experiences of same-sex attraction significantly decreased among women and men with increasing age. Similarly, prior research has shown that exclusive opposite-sex attraction is approximately 17 times more stable than exclusive same-sex attraction for men and 30 times more stable than exclusive same-sex attraction for women. It's a 2011 article. There's an abundance of scientific, peer-reviewed research that shows homosexuality is not an enduring and immutable characteristic. This proving the very statement that Dr. Phil said at the end of the episode, I don't believe there's any such thing as an ex-gay, as categorically false, unscientific, and defamatory to the thousands of former homosexuals, persons with unwanted same-sex attractions, and their families. So, Chris, we just had to try to recalibrate there. We were losing you every few words. At least I've been able to read from your article, your Christian Post article. But you've asked Dr. Phil to publicly apologize to the ex-gay community for implying that, quote, we do not exist. What would you like for Dr. Phil to do to make this right?
Well, and you can see this petition on our website at comingoutlove.com/Dr. Phil petition. It's under News tab under our website. So number one, Dr. Phil needs to wake up to reality and realize that there are ex-gays, there are former homosexuals. Number two, he really needs to set the record straight on his show about the ideology of homosexuality and the fact that people aren't simply born gay. That statement that he made, that being gay is similar to being tall or too short, that's so simplistic for an esteemed psychologist to make. In 2008, the APA, the American Psychological Association, which is an extremely gay-affirming organization, said that essentially people are not born gay, that it's a complex process of both nature and nurture, and that there's lots of variables that go into that. So he needs to really set the record straight on that. And then finally, he needs to really invite persons like myself and other former homosexuals and persons with unwanted same-sex attractions who don't wish to be gay onto his show so he can really see just how marginalized our community is. In fact, that is one of the reasons why we started Voice of the Voiceless, which is now an anti-defamation league for former homosexuals and persons with unwanted same-sex attractions, because these men and women really have no voice. They have no voice. They're being completely marginalized by both the straight and the gay communities. And so we're now standing up and saying, hello, we exist. And you can see that on our website at comingoutloved.com.
All right, friends, that's Coming Out Loved with a D, comingoutloved.com. You can sign the petition there to Dr. Phil. You can find out about Voice of the Voiceless. I want Chris just to stay with me a couple more minutes and talk about legislation taking place in several states that's absolutely terrifying. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to address something that I addressed a few weeks back, but it's so important, and we're on different parts of the country in different hours, and some of you listen faithfully by podcast or online to 2 hours every day, but I know many of you catch a few minutes here and there. And especially if you're listening in different hours, you don't hear things. So I'm going to revisit something with a guest, Chris Doyle. His website, comingoutloved.com. It's the International Healing Foundation. Before I bring Chris back, Dr. Phil was on with David Letterman. And the whole issue of Christian views about homosexuality and Jason Collins coming out, reaction to that. This is what they are discussing. This is David Letterman and Dr. Phil.
We got some mouth breathers out there that still are going to respond to this like, oh my God, this is something wrong.
Now, what is the core of that fear or that dislike that people express for those who
are homosexual? Well, I think there's two things. I think we have a religious right in the country that just, you know, tries to look at biblical teachings in a literal sense and say, you know, this is an abomination to God, as they quote.
God created man in his own image, though.
Right. And then,
so that means everybody is in God's image. So
you would think.
Why do we single this group out?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you could, for every citation.
Thank you.
For every citation in the Bible that they cite against it, there are 100 citations about acceptance and inclusion and compassion and love for your fellow man.
That's right.
So they're going to have a hard time with that, and then you've got the people that are just threatened by it.
Now, what is the basis of that, the threatening, that they think, oh, maybe I'm a homosexual?
Well,
is that what it is?
Well, I think they would be offended by the term homosexual.
What would the term be?
Gay.
Oh, maybe they're frightened. Oh, maybe I'm gay. That frightens people.
I think they see it and say, well, if this person is allowed to have this role, then are they going to be all around me in my life? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, they are. Get used to it.
All right. So we have, for those that didn't know this, Chris, we've just learned that Dr. Phil and David Letterman are not theologians. And the idea that David Letterman says, okay, if God creates us in his image, then every human being is in the image of God, therefore we accept everything. So, and everyone applauds for that. I mean, a sustained applause. This is just last night on Letterman. Sustained applause. So you think about that for a minute. So that whoever the person is, whatever trait, whatever negative thing, whatever quality, that must be acceptable because it's the image of God.
What it is the gross distortion of what Christian and Bible believers believe.
Of course.
They're basically saying that people who disagree with homosexual behavior are bigots and homophobes, and that they're calling actual human beings an abomination. Nothing
right.
could be further from the truth. In fact, the Christians that I know, the Christians in my community that understand this issue, they have the utmost love and respect for people who identify as gay and lesbian, and for those who have unwanted same-sex attractions. And they respectfully disagree with homosexual behavior, but they tremendously love those people. And I think that this is not something that is a confusion by Dr. Phil and David Letterman, who are ultra-left spokespeople, but they're actually on purposely promoting these types of distortions to make Christians look bad. And that's why we're starting Voice of the Voiceless, Dr. Brown. This, enough is enough. We have the right as Americans to stand up and say, I love you and I disagree with your behavior, without being called a bigot and a homophobe.
Right. And to say that there's a better way, and there are ways to deal with unwanted attractions and be holy, and there are ways to even get to the root of them and see change. And, you know, I know our time is short, and I want to address the legislation issue quickly, but you got to hear just one more clip. Clip number 8, Joey.
What about humans? Whatever we decide humans can do, well, humans can do those things.
And I think that will prevail ultimately, and I think that's the majority of what people will say, at least publicly. But I think there are still those that are misinformed about this. They think it's learned behavior. They think it was because of a domineering mother.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, the scientific research on this, the literature, is building an overwhelming tidal wave that says that this is hardwired. That
just
this
a roll
is
of the dice.
Brain. It's just the way that it happened.
Some
and
people
no
have blue
difference.
Eyes, some people have brown eyes.
Exactly.
Some people are left-handed, some people are right-handed.
All right.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right. Nothing could be further from the truth.
All right, so Chris, 2 minutes. You were a witness in the case in New Jersey. It's already been passed in California, but being held up with fights in the courts. People want to bring it to New York and other states. This idea that to counsel people with unwanted same-sex attraction, to provide them with professional therapy is dangerous if they're minors, harmful, and should be illegal. How serious a threat is this, and how egregious an assault on patient determination and clients' rights? How egregious is this in your eyes?
Well, let me just make a few points on this. Number one, this legislation has already been passed in California, and like you said, it's being upheld in the court while the courts decide whether it's constitutional. We believe that it will ultimately be struck down by the courts, which is a good thing. But even so, for a legislative body, and mind you, all the legislative bodies around the country that are suggesting this, all are liberal-dominated, Democratic-dominated, partisan bodies. There's no bipartisan legislature that's actually considering this type of legislation, and it's all being fueled by gay activism. They're targeting sympathetic members. Most of them are gay or lesbian activists, members of the legislatures, to sponsor this legislation. And I've called every single one of their offices in 6 states now to talk to these folks in these offices and ask them, please tell me, what are the specific studies that show that this type of therapy is harmful for adolescents? Tell me a study that shows that it's ineffective for adolescents. Not single one can point to a specific scientific study that says this. And then the second thing is, they are now actively making things up about this type of therapy. In New Jersey, we blew the whistle and broke it on RoadNetDaily.com, broke the story that a transgender witness, lied about being sent to a conversion therapy camp in Ohio in 1997. Ended up the camp was only in the movies from a 1999 movie called But I'm a Cheerleader, starring drag queen RuPaul. And then we just saw, just this week, gay activists now in South Africa saying that quote-unquote gay effeminate youth were killed at a gay conversion camp. We blew the whistle on Voice of the Voiceless on this from our South African colleague who has looked at this issue in all the media and has found that this is a myth being propagated by gay activists. This was not a therapy camp. This was a brutal military-style camp that took advantage of their power, and the people are currently being on trial, not therapists. So this is what the activists are stooping to now, Dr. Brown, outright lies.
And I gotta jump in. Go to comingoutloved.com. My guest, Chris Doyle. Chris, gotta run. Thanks for sounding the alarm and joining us. Friends, get your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Essential reading. It'll change your life and perspective. Yours for a gift of any size. Be as generous as you can to help us. 1-800-278-9978. All these issues are addressed in my book. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, once again, it is wake-up time. There is an onslaught of lies being perpetrated by the popular media. We must speak the truth in love.